Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this movie review episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. In these episodes, myself and Dan from UK Haunters discuss and review haunt horror subgenre movies. So anything that might be about a haunted attraction, an escape room, a complete scare park, anything like that, those sort of haunt subgenre horror movies is what we like to discuss here on the Scare Trap Podcast. And today is no different. We're going to be discussing and reviewing Escape Room 2 Tournament of Champions. Now, before you do listen on, be warned, there will be some spoilers in this review. Throughout the main feature section, there's not too many, and we always let you know when there's a mini spoiler coming up, but towards the end, there are some real heavy spoilers. So just keep that in mind in case you've not yet seen the film. I do suggest going to watch it and listening to this episode afterwards, and let us know in the comments below if you enjoyed it, if you enjoyed it more than the first one, didn't like it as much, and let us know your review about Escape Room 2 Tournament of Champions. But for now, if you're happy to carry on with the spoilers, let's go. Let's bring on Dan to the Scare Trap Podcast.
You're listening to Scare Trap.
Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined once again by Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
It is all good in this scorching hot weather.
Yeah, it is hot. Like, we are proper having a heat wave here in the UK. It is, like, I think it's as hot here as it is in Orlando at the minute. That's how mad it is.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And we don't have aircon, like, fitted as standard. It's killing us.
And we don't have Universal Studios or Disney World either, so, you know.
Yeah, so we've got the shitty end of the stick today. But what we do have is cinemas are all reopened, along with lots of things here in the UK. So we're trying to get lots of fun stuff done nice and safely, of course. And that's why we thought we'd do another episode, another movie review of the sort of haunt slash escape room subgenre of horror movies. We haven't actually discussed Escape Room 1 yet, because there's multiple escape rooms, but we're talking about the 2019 version. But what has just come out at the cinema is Escape Room 2 Tournament of Champions. That's just come out in 2021. So we've both gone and see it, haven't we, Dan?
Yeah.
Went and checked it out. And just before we go any further, spoilers ahead for sure. Not huge spoilers, but we will be discussing the film, so there will be spoilers. I enjoyed it.
Should we try and do spoiler free as much as possible?
Yeah.
So if people
haven't
seen it, they can get a feel. And then when we have to talk about spoilers, drop a spoiler warning and go, right, now.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that, definitely. Yeah, so if any time we feel a big spoiler, we'll say, spoiler's coming up, and just put your fingers in your ears for 10 or 20 seconds before we go into it. But yeah, a bit of a premise of the first film before we get into the... a group of people who have all survived some sort of a horrific thing or some sort of accident. They're all a bunch of survivors are basically, welcomed or invited to a very special style of escape room. Lots of different characters, people that have never done escape rooms before, people that love them, that sort of thing. And basically, it's batshit crazy. Like, and we've spoke about this before, haven't we, Dan? It's got huge, insane, elaborate sets, really lots of money ploughed into it. Very different to the other style of escape rooms we've watched.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. For better or for worse, I know. I mean, before we talk about this, the second one, did you enjoy the first one, Dan?
I did enjoy it. I kind of liked the first one. The thing with is escape room horrors that I've seen, and really haunt horrors that I've seen, is there's something really personal and in-depth and claustrophobic. Now, escape rooms, all the escape room horrors that I have seen, and I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen a few, is you've got to kind of take the leap of faith that there's a possessed person in it. Or the fact that they've gone a bit nuts and the rooms actually kill you. But they're all kind of realistic in terms of what could kill you in a room. You could actually imagine someone doing. Like one, there was a gas leak and it had poisonous gas, which melted someone. Another one, it had actually spike smalls. They're all kind of realistic. What I didn't like about the original budgety Hollywood escape room is because they went so grand.
Yeah.
It kind of took you out. You're like, really? I mean, you could easily build a death trap escape room establishment or complex very easily and keep it realistic. But it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That when the room turned upside down, it was like a 1,000-foot drop. I'm not sure it was a 1,000-foot drop, but it was a huge drop. And you kind of like,
how?
It kind of took you out of it because as escape room. Now, for people who don't know escape rooms, it must be fantastical. Oh my God, they could do this. But for people who love it, which those are the ones in the haunt slash escape room fan genre of who are going to be watching this, I'm assuming that it took most people out. So it took me and Jess out. It's just a bit much because you're like, that's a tad unrealistic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I get that. Especially with the, I mean, there's rooms with, that were ice, literally like you are on an ice lake. It's like, how the hell have they, and again, they sort of, the backstory is that basically the multi-million billionaires all sort of watch and vote on who they think's going to complete it. And that's how they can afford it because it's backed by billionaires that create these most insane, weird, crazy, elaborate rooms. But yeah, I mean, some of them, especially when talking about the first one, I mean, that massive big drop and it's all upside down. That's elaborate.
Yeah, it's too elaborate. It's, you know, when you start getting that far beyond a James Bond villain style death trap.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a bit, and that's where I felt the first one fell down. It was just a bit. Now we'll accept that there were possessed people and there are maniacs and there this, that and the other. But when you're actually treating the actual aspects of the film, which as escape room and haunt fans, we hold sacred and dear, that's what you can't fuck with too much. And when you push those boundaries to that level, you start to lose them. It's like, you wouldn't have a lake. Oh, it's a bloody lake. It's not a room then, is it? It's a gigantic bloody hall.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think that, and again, slight spoilers here, but not huge ones. That's where I think, if we're going to bring it sort of back to Escape Room 2, Tournament of Champions, although some rooms, again, I mean, the whole train scene is completely bizarre and far-fetched. Big time. Yeah. Like, let's be honest, they all would have been killed. They all, like, how can you only get those five or six people on that busy tube train? Like, sure, like, it again, without going too much into the film, you have to, with lots of these sort of films that you watch as well, you do have to let your common sense, but leave something at the door.
You've got
leave
to take a leap of faith.
Yeah, you just have. You've got to take it for what it is.
But I think that's what I was going to say about this one, is once you've got over that original leap of faith, that, and there's a reason why they've got more there, which links to the film title, that once you've made that leap of faith that somehow they've managed to get all these people on this carriage with no other people on this carriage, from then on, I'm kind of cool with it. Because as James Bond villain as it was, and one of them was the one with the lasers, was a little large.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it was a little large.
Yeah,
they were still quite James Bond villain in terms of grandioseness, but they were more believable. They were billion-dollar escape rooms, but they were more believable.
Yeah, I like how this, like,
I wish they would have done this in the first one. I think maybe this is, it might have been feedback, it might have been what they thought. I don't know if they went into a different direction. Again, we don't really discuss the directors, the writers, the producers and things like that. We just watch it, say if we like it or not here on Scare Track. But I like that they, so in this film, for example, again, slight spoilers, we're not huge, but they have a beach room, they have a New York City room, and you'll see these on the trailer.
Oh my god, but New York City one, oh, that was so good.
But what I loved about it is that, and what I think was clever, is that they did, like, your first few visualizations of it did make it seem all real, it all looked good, and then all of a sudden your eyes adjusted, or their eyes adjusted, as did the audience's, and that's when you realise it's a room.
Yeah.
And that's what I really liked. I liked that, and I think that's what they should have done elements of with the first one. Like, they could have done that with that bit huge, big lake room. Like, they could have...
Yeah.
Like, well, I know they did knock on a wall, they realised it was up against a wall, like it does stop, but they could have done something similar to go, you know, as a little... And all of a sudden, yeah. Oh no, it actually is a room. And it, again, I think they've, although it is crazy billionaires making these most insane, elaborate, very expensive high-tech rooms, you could still tell this is in a box and they've created it, whereas you couldn't in the first one.
There was one thing as well with this one. Now, I can't remember the first one too well, but as far as I can remember this one, the clues were a bit more realistic to escape rooms. But the way they figured it out, and again, I can't remember the last one that well because I didn't enjoy it as much, mainly because it wasn't as personal and it was a bit too Hollywood-y for me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
From what I remember, this one, the, oh my God, this does that does that. It all kind of made more sense to actually how escape rooms were. And also, I think when I did watch the first one, maybe I hadn't done as many. I've done like 11 escape rooms now. Maybe I'd only done like 4. That wasn't as au fait with how they work as much. Maybe I didn't pick up on it. But this one definitely seemed to get the way you solve the puzzles a lot more realistic to the way escape rooms actually work.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that, definitely. It felt, and again, very elaborate, but it felt like you could see these type of games in an escape room.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that, definitely. And the way that they figured, don't get me wrong, some were very difficult. I think I would have been asking for some clues to figure them out. but yeah, the fact that, and they sort, I feel that they worked, and it's Tournament of Champions, so it sort of makes sense. Again, I don't want to go into too many spoilers, but it felt like that when you were watching them, I don't know if it was just written a little bit better, although, you know, some of the script writing is a little bit clunky. It's not quite perfect. Some of the acting can get a bit dodgy in certain points, but overall, like you say, just enjoy it for what it is. It felt like that they conversed more like they were in an
escape room.
Yeah, like that, if that makes sense.
If you've seen my film The Tombs, you'll appreciate where I'm coming from. This, I don't care about janky writing. I don't care about not that great acting, as long as it's entertaining. That
yeah,
is my thing
exactly.
With films. It's like, I love Puppet Master, Demonic Toys, all those old Full Moon films that everyone seems to goddamn hate, because they are just entertaining. If you entertain me, all right, I like being scared and I like the gore and I like all this stuff, but if it's any of those or none of those, as long as the film is entertaining, I'm done. And it was.
Exactly. Yeah, it really was, actually. You know what? I realised how... And we'll talk a little bit about the ending as well, because I felt a little bit let down, but... I could tell I enjoyed it because it was over before I knew it. Like,
yeah.
And it was still, I think it was, what, 8? I don't know what the run time is. Yeah, 1 hour 28. So, it's, you know, it's a standard hour and a half film.
Yeah.
But when the lights came up, and I was like, bloody hell, that went quick. Because it is pretty much after the first sort of 10 minutes of, like, developing the scene, developing the two main characters again. As soon as you're there on that tube train, it is all systems go until the end.
And
like,
also,
there's downtime.
Is as you're watching them decode it, I was figuring out the clues as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was logical. It was realistically logical enough for the audience. So if you're not into escape rooms, you'll just watch it and enjoy them figuring out. But if you are into escape rooms, you sort of go, oh, you know, you can kind of play the game as well. Oh, I bet that does that. Or something, you know what I mean? It's really, it was as as billionaire as it was a lot more low key.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think the way the characters interacted helped that. The way the rooms were set out, although don't get me wrong, having to deal with acid rain is pretty freaking intense. Because there was that sort of little bit of a moment where they think, oh my god, this really is New York, and then all of a sudden, no, you can tell it is a room again. Yeah, yes, quite,
man, that was in the trailer. That didn't need to be in the trailer.
Yeah, that is annoying, like, because it would have got me. Yeah. And go, oh my god, they've got out, wow. That it does bug me when they put too much in the trailer, definitely.
I've got this general rule of thumb. If I want to watch the film, I don't want to see the trailer. Trailers led to Joker, for example. I couldn't give a shit about that film till someone showed me the trailer, and I was like, fuck me, I'm watching it. Now it's one of my all-time favourites. Mm-hmm. That's when a trailer worked. Halloween Kills, I don't want to see anything. I was like, oh my God, did you see the trailer? No!
No, because you want to see it in the movie. Yeah. So when me and Hannah sometimes we're looking through Netflix or something, and again, very similar to you, Dan, there's something that I kind of don't really think I want to watch it, but I'll watch the trailer and that will make me go, oh yeah, okay, that looks right, to be fair. And then there's other films where I'll go, oh, this looks quite good. And if I like the first 20 seconds of a trailer, I'll then switch it off and go, let's watch it. And she's like, well, do you want to watch the rest of the trailer? I'm like, no, because I like what I see already, so I already want to watch it. So I don't want to see too much of it.
The M. Night Shyamalan film that's coming out called Old. We were meant to be watching that on Friday, and I was like, well, do you know what? The trailer basically says, we're on this beach. Every half an hour on this beach is an hour of our lives. We need to get off. Oh, if you go out to sea, you pass out. If you try and get through the caves, you pass out. So you're like, all right, you've told me the whole fucking film. So I've got essentially, I'm going to be watching these people grow old till someone tells me the twist. And it's a bit like, I don't know. I don't care. Where if you've sort of gone like Old and shown a beach and maybe like 10 seconds of maybe a dead body and something, I don't know what the fuck is this about. But the trailer plotted out the entire film, and it's not engaging enough a story for me to sit through that just for a bloody twist.
Yes.
So yeah, again, it's just the trailer's just, maybe it works for other people. Maybe it's like a cantankerous old git.
No, it's true though. Me and Hannah will sometimes watch trailers. Like, again, Netflix is the main one, or Amazon Prime. We'll watch a trailer and we'll both go, well, I feel like I've watched the whole film, so what's the point in watching it? Like, you can, don't get me wrong, there can be twists and things like that, but sometimes it's like, well, what was the actual, like, they've given so much away in a trailer. And also, comedies are bad for it when they put the funniest bits in the trailer. Obviously, I understand, you know, trailers are there to draw people in, there to make people want to watch it. But if you're going to put your 10 best jokes of an hour and a half long film in a 26-second trailer, you've done it wrong. Because now everyone knows every single punchline. Everyone knows what's funny and what's not. Do you know what I mean?
Another thing that makes me laugh about trailers, Disney do this with the Marvel films, where they edit scene differently in a trailer.
Yeah.
It's happened a couple of times. That's really weird me out. I've watched two of them and gone, that's not what I was sold. What the hell?
Yeah, it's true. They use deleted scenes or alternate scenes. Pitch Perfect 3 did it. Pitch Perfect 2. And I'm sorry to anyone that's listening to this or wants to talk about Escape Room 2, and I'm talking about a bunch of people singing a cappella, but I love Pitch Perfect and I love Anna Kendrick. But when that came out, I was very excited about that film. And there were two or three quotes from that film that I remember in the trailer that weren't actually mentioned at all in the entire film. Or so much so that I don't think it was Pitch Perfect, but in other films, I've seen... Actually, I think it was Escape Room 2, because I watched the trailer after I'd seen the film as well, because I was prepping for this. I'm pretty certain that... again, very, very mini spoiler here, but if we're looking at the main characters... Where are the main characters? Here we go. So, Ben, who's played by Logan Miller... In the trailer, he's the one that says, what, so it's Tournament of Champions? Whereas in the actual film, it was, I can't remember which one now, but it was one of the other girls. They said, what is it? Oh, it was the blonde girl. It was Tournament of Champions. But in the trailer, he says it. But anyway, yeah. Not that anyone cares about that, but it's just being honest. It's just saying, like, yeah, it's quite annoying when they just fabricate it way too much. And then it's like, one, you've either seen the whole film in this trailer, two, you've seen the best bits in it, or three, it's completely not real because they've used different lines or different actors to use different bits.
It's the stings that get me. It's like when they showed the Halloween 2018 trailer, the bit where he drops the teeth, I was like, oh my god, that is, I'm in. Mm. And that was still creepy, but because that was more of a slow, creepy thing. It's a kid in a closet, the kid with the when he hides in the kid's closet. That was that would have been amazing just to view. Now I know it's coming, it's not as bad.
Yeah, yeah. You've already seen it on your small screen, or you've already seen it on your phone, or yeah, it's just not the same as when you could have seen it for the first time at the cinema.
Mm.
Or just the first time at all, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Anyway, we're getting off topic. We always do. We digress. Back to Escape Room 2. I tell you what, I sort of feel this franchise is trying sort of to become, and it sounds a bit weird, but I think it's the final destination of today. Does that make sense? Like, totally different sort of background. Like, obviously, Final Destination were people who were actually dying because they cheated death, right? And in fairness, the idea of this film is that these guys have all cheated death before. Well, not cheated death, it's not Saw or what, but it's they've all gone through something traumatic, so they're tested again to see who can win or who can survive. Although that premise is kind of similar, take away the actual plot, but put in the type of people interacting together, the every other scene, rather than it being a death like in Final Destination, in an elaborate way, whether it be a bathroom, whether it be a hardware store, whether it be a theme park, whatever, it's just the same sort of thing. Like, someone is going to die in an escape room. So to me, it feels like a mixture of Final Destination, maybe a pinch of Saw in there. But yeah, and the fact that the way it's also, you know, progressing, like, I mean, 2019 was the first film, 2021 this film's just come out. That's quite a quick sequel turnaround.
Yeah.
They have opened it up for there to be a third one. I have a feeling that this is sort of like the...
It's kind of a major spoiler, by the way.
Sorry?
That's a major spoiler.
Oh, sorry. All right. Major spoiler, guys. But I haven't told him what's happened.
Because I was going to go, because the end pissed me off. So we are going to go into major spoiler.
Yeah, we will. We'll finish off with the major spoilers in case anyone wants to cut off there. Or watch the film, then come back to us. But I think, to me, when I left, I was like, it reminds me of, as a franchise, as a sort of same sort of formula sort of thing, the same sort of target market as well. To me, yeah, it feels like a what's it called? A Final Destination of today.
I can very much see what you mean.
Yeah.
And I think it would run the risk of getting very samey.
Yeah. Now, but then again, so did Final Destination.
No, but Final Destination was out in the world. So, true. Yeah, all the, I mean, there's a couple of them didn't hit me quite the same way. But I think, especially as we've established Elite,
mm-hmm.
who is essentially would be the Sydney of the franchise.
Yes,
I do think that if that person kept on getting put in elaborate escape rooms, it would just get a bit samey. Maybe if they sort of like branched out, like they then put them through a haunt or a theme park of terror. You know what I mean? I think if it was just, because the thing about Escape Murray is you could do I really hope that because Haunt was fucking amazing. Hellfest was fucking amazing. I'm really, really hoping that Hollywood's getting a bit more of a gist of how cool this is. And you can do so many, because it's a... Sorry, Jesse's cooking something downstairs and it's really getting to my throat. I haven't got COVID. If each individual film can take things in such dramatic directions, you can have loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of those different escape room films. To have this very specific one with this very specific thing going again and again and again, I do worry it may last another one, but if you've got the same protagonist and exact same setup of, oh, you people survived this, so we're going to put you in the escape room so you can survive again. And it's not limited because you can be as inventive as you want. I suppose the best way to do it would be people not knowing.
Yeah, true.
And maybe you find out that this whole thing's an escape room, like halfway through, that there's just shit's happening. I don't know.
Yeah. But, no, I know what you mean. It needs to go... It now needs to go out into the world a little bit more.
Yeah.
Rather than... And again, a few spoilers. I like that we kind of saw the behind the scenes of how the escape room works as well.
That thing, yes. Again, I wasn't sure if they showed that in the first one. And okay, no. this is kind of spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers, guys, sorry.
But I do like the fact when they got out, there's just all these massive metal boxes everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is obviously the purpose-built rooms. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I think this one was just, although there were, you know, the first scene with all the electric and the tube train and actually getting them onto the tube train, like you said, you have to suspend your disbelief there a little bit. And then at the end as well, you have to go, really? Have they managed to do that?
But the escape room was cool. As soon as that train stopped and became an escape room,
it was awesome. Good. Yeah.
That first bit of them getting all on there. I know they kind of, the girl was on there because some guy grabbed a chain and he sort of led her on there. So I'm like, all right, so but I don't know how they conned everyone on there and made sure no one else got on in a busy American tube train.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a leap of faith. But once it became the skate, I was like, because Jess was looking at the clue and going, oh, it's blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, oh, it's blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, that's quite cool. So I mean, so once the escape room started, I was in.
Yeah, and yeah, then I get that.
And then when they got to the beach room, I was like, oh, fuck about. And then it went, it was actually a relatively small room. I was like, oh good.
Yes.
They solved the problem. They've made it more compact. They've made it more real. Bond villain, yes, but realistic Bond villain. You know what I mean? One of Jesse's main complaints of it by the end, she was like, that's not how sulfuric acid works, my babes. Don't worry about that. I didn't know that. Everyone here is a scientist.
Again, it's just suspending that disbelief, isn't it? I suppose, which we have to do with all these kind of films. But yeah, I'm very similar to you, Dan. I think we've looked at this in a very similar way in the fact that we both enjoyed the first film to a point, but it was all just too big and crazy and mad, and it's like, how is this even possible? Whereas again, in this one, still, how the hell is this possible? But you can kind of see how. Yeah. Like, it's like, you can kind of see it's been sort of flat packed a little bit.
Yeah, and even the biggest room kind of looked like a set.
Yeah.
This is stupidly expensive. And again, even having said that, they still had actual escape room S clues from to figure out.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a door slowly closing, which, you know, happens in that sort of thing. So, yeah, it definitely felt more like they were in escape rooms rather than huge, crazy, elaborate places where they need to figure out a few clues. That's the difference, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's go into the absolute spoiler room brawl. So if anyone doesn't want to listen any further... don't worry, we've kept you for 20 odd minutes, so thank you. But if you have seen the film, or if you just want to hear this because you're not going to see the film or anything like that, let's talk about the ending, Dan.
Okay, right. The first ending, I loved, because I went, if this is complete fucking spoilers, absolute ruining the ending now. So if you want to see it afresh, go watch it. If you don't care or you want to hear the ending ruined, we are going to completely ruin the ending now. The first ending, where she shut them down, they all got arrested, and the policeman was like, wow, we've been after these people for years, thank you. But I went, do you know what? That is so fucking brave. As a film, I was so impressed. You can still do a third one, because it doesn't have to be the same billionaires. Maybe some lower class nut jobs have done it, or you know, maybe some like gangsters have done a different escape room. Maybe she just gets caught up in like Die Hard. He keeps him getting caught in terrorist situations. He's not the same terrorist. Maybe the next one, some sadistic killers, haunt style, created a small one, and she's like, oh my god, I'm stuck in this situation again. Why is it even happening to me? You can still carry on the series.
Yeah.
But what you've done, you've gone, do you know what, this James Bond villain-esque ones are done and dusted. And I was like, that is brave. That is amazing. I'm so fucking impressed. It's unreal. And then they went and buggered it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so, I kind of think it was just so obvious as well.
They that it was hand-fisted like, is what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking, and also again, how the hell, and again, huge spoilers, basically, she's now on a plane, and the whole point has been, I'm scared to get on planes. I'm scared to get on the plane. I don't know if I want to get on the plane. And by the end of it, of course, guess what? She got on the plane.
And also, wasn't that the ending of the first one?
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure.
I need to watch the first one again.
Because I watched it, and I was thinking, shit, was this... Are they Final Destination this and looped it back?
Looped it? I can't remember.
But they hadn't.
No.
Because I remember that. I was like, no, because the first one, she's on the plane and it's going to crash into a mountain, where this wasn't that. But the fact is that her psychiatrist is like, oh, this pen's a clue. This thing's a clue. And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. these people on the plane had these random things. And I was like, oh, pack it in.
It was just like, and again, like, so, and her actual therapist was on that plane. Like,
yeah.
How have they managed to go, we're going to keep an eye. She's booked a ticket for this day. Okay, she's booked a ticket. She's done the, how? How have they known that? How have they managed to plan this? How have they managed to, I mean, I'm guessing they've taken over the plane and the cockpit, or then again, also as well, like, if they're saying that, like, it was all cool that it all sort of like came to a halt, like they figured it out. It was all over the news. It was all the police are going, well done, fantastic, you're free to go. Does it mean that the police are involved in it as well?
Because everything like... was a lie. Everything was fake. Everything was an illusion. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, and the thing is, what's so annoying is now if there's an Escape Room 3, you're like, okay, so she survived another plane thing. I still can't overly remember the first one, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And now these guys are back. Where if you'd done it the brave way, in my opinion, then if there's Escape Room 3, you're like, oh my God, what's this? I'll instantly watch it.
I thought she completed it. I thought she did it, yeah.
Yeah. Where at the moment now, it's just going to be more of the same and possibly more derivative. Now, I've made films. Oh, Tombs is actually out in the UK at the moment. We should do something on Tombs at one point.
Sweet.
As much as my love-hate relationship that film goes. But essentially, execs and producers can really screw with your film. And they can really fuck up the ending. So I fully appreciate that maybe... And the thing is, we film, you always concentrate on the director, which is a good and bad point of being a director. If the film's success, your good graces. The film fucks up, it's all your fault. And actually, neither's true. Because if the film's a success, you've probably got good writers, good DOPs, good actors, all this stuff. And if it goes wrong, one person can screw up a film way, way, way easier than an entire cast and crew can make a good film. So I've got a funny feeling that maybe the director or writer went, right, that's it, it's done. And some exec went, no. Yeah. You have to do this ending. And they've gone, well, I really don't think so. And they've gone, well, we got the money, so bugger you. So I'm not going to like rat on the director for this choice or any filmmakers, because it's probably just some twat with all the money. But it was so disappointing. Like, Jess literally just turned and stared at me. And I was just like, I was staring at the screen with my mouth open going, I can't believe they fucked it up. Because it would have been so good if she'd completed it. Escape from 3. What the fuck? How? I'm instantly interested. No, oh God, though, they've got in another Tournament of Champions 2. You know, Tournament of Champions or, you know what I mean? If there's a third one, instantly, not like if I didn't have the Cineworld card, which I would highly suggest people get if they don't, it's like £18 a month, money snapped, all the films you want, absolutely amazing. If I didn't have that and there's an Escape Room 3, and even if the trailer's amazing, I'll be like, eh. But if they'd finished it in the way where it was open where she'd left. They'd all been arrested, blah, blah, blah. And there's escape from 3 year old. Instantly go, I'm paying to see that because I need to know what they're going to do. How this third one's come about.
Whereas now it's like, oh, well, we know. And it was actually a bit of a push.
Yeah. Like, and also, if all this, oh, you know, it's a joke, then what's the fucking point of the third one? Because if the whole point is, it's gone, even from the first one, it's gone beyond them surviving the escape rooms. Because you pretty much know she, because now she's a Sydney, you know she's going to survive. She will survive.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, the way, unless they do like a Bruce Campbell in Maniac Cop 2 and just knock him off quickly, you've got the funny feeling that she will just be the lead of these films. She'll be the heroine. Mm-hmm. So you're not, and you know everyone else is going to die. So you're like, okay, so she survives. So it's gone beyond her surviving the escape rooms, because after two films, she's either going to get knocked off early or survive to the end.
Yeah.
So it's about defeating them. But she can't defeat them because she defeated them. And it's like, oh no, you can't defeat her. So what's the point?
It's sort of like, is it going to be just a never-ending cycle?
Yeah.
And the problem is, it might well be if they continue to make money. Which, don't get me wrong, I'm glad that they've made money. And they did, the first film did really, really well as well. And that's why I think this sequel has come out pretty sharpish. And sometimes they do like a good cliffhanger to try and, I think, help their chances of going, well, can we have a sequel, please? Because the first one did this much money, this one's done this much money, with the sequel, people want, you know. It will just become a cycle.
Yeah. It's still good, because if escape/haunt films are making money, even if they're not our cup of tea, then they're more likely to fund other haunt escape room films. So that's how the genre grows. It's like Friday the 13th, fun fact, if I've never mentioned it before, the next Friday the 13th film will be the 13th one in the series.
As if. And so, they're all exactly the same.
Well, no.
No, that's slight difference.
Which people really don't like, Jason Goes to Hell, is very, very different, which is why I'm my favourite, but that's a completely different topic. Some people don't like, some people do like, but the fact that that franchise went on and on and on gave all the other slashers chances, because people were funding slashers, and that's why you have the slashers on. So make money, cool, because maybe if the next one is just derivative and I'm like, no, I don't like it, if that makes money and someone else goes, oh, I've got a haunt idea for film, oh, well, escape my idea, films are making money, let's fund yours as well. So it actually benefits everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And we're sort of ending this on a bit of a negative, whereas really overall, I left the film going, oh, that was cool. Like, the ending was a bit meh, but overall I was like, you know what? That was an entertaining hour and a half. It was an entertaining hour and 20. Take away the last 10 minutes.
It was
an entertaining.
Annoyed the living hell out of me. The film was great. But the only thing, I mean, there were holes in it, like the whole, if you didn't see it happen, they didn't die. And there's certain people who came back and then someone else disappeared, didn't see die, who didn't come back. So, but anyway, it's, you know, I kind of review films the same way I review haunts, is that I think as a reviewer, you're automatically a bit of a salty bitch because it's cool and it was fun. Like, you know, you go to haunts and go, well, that scare wasn't particularly great. Maybe it's just you. Maybe it's your frame of mind. Maybe that guy didn't scare you the same way he scared the million other people and you just happen to get bad ones. So,
you've got to look at all the alternatives.
Imagination. And, it, you know, it is a very fun film. It just annoyed me because it got me so happy that there was something so original and great. And then, and again, it's probably just an exec decision. Went, no, we don't like that. Tap this on at the end. But I was so happy that it ended that way that when it didn't, I was proper pissy about it.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
It's still worth watching. You said, like, you know, the ride's fun. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, go watch it. You know, it's a great film.
Definitely. And it is entertaining. And again, I'm trying just the parallel to the Final Destination films. They're all kind of pretty similar. You know who the main person is, and they're going to try and defeat death again on these different ways to kill them. And again, there's five or six. And we both agree some are better than others. But again, if it's an hour and a half of entertainment that's enjoyable, that, you know, I mean, down the line when it comes out on Netflix, I'll probably pop it on, you know. So it's I'm glad I went, and and it's one of those, it's like, it's weird when I'm such a, everyone here knows I'm a real big Saw fan, so when a new one comes out, I am excited about that, never mind if it's a crap one like Jigsaw or a decent one like Spiral, but I'm mega excited. This I'm kind of indifferent about. I'm like, it, when the new one comes out potentially in 2 years time, I'll be like, oh, this would be cool to watch, but I'm not, it hasn't got me like, oh my god, I need to know what happens next, I need to, it's one of them, it's sort of like, it's enjoyable.
I'm not as hooked as I would have been if they'd have, if ending A would have been
agree,
if ending A would have been the ending and they went three, I'd be like, what the, I need to know. Now I'm kind of like, it'll be enjoyable, I'll watch it, but if I had to pay for a full cinema ticket, I wouldn't. I'd wait to rent it for £5 or wait for it goes on Netflix. Whereas ending B would have happened, I'd have paid full cinema price for it.
I'll
still watch it. I'll still get around to watching it.
Yeah, you just wouldn't go to the cinema for it.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, the more they make of these, then hopefully other horror and escape from horror films get funded. So, you know, more power to them.
Yeah, the better for us as well, definitely. Perfect. I think that sort of brings us to the perfect conclusion, really.
There's something. I go on. I'm not sure why I've suddenly decided that you're the person to bring this to. We saw... we did a double bill. We saw that and we saw the new Purge film.
Oh, okay.
And after the Purge film, idea was floating in my head.
Go on.
Why has no one done a porn parody of the Purge and called it the Perv? Bear with me. Here's the plot. It's a very strict sexual society where sex is all very straight... down the edge, very Christian ethics to sex.
Right, okay.
But one night of the year, for 12 hours...
Everyone goes gangbanging.
Any perversion you want. So, the city erupts, people still dress up, they still wear their masks.
And shit goes down.
Instead of killing each other, everyone's just getting into super, super pervy, kinky sex. The story revolves around a man and a woman who are stuck on either sides of the city, and they've got to pervy fuck their way through the city to get to each other, to have the kinky sex they want, that they can have one night a year. In the journey of getting through these sex acts, they have an even better night. They've learned more about themselves along the way. I should be directing porn. So I'm going to give you some fucking money.
You know what? I think this is the second time you've brought up a porn parody idea.
Because I'm so good at them.
So anyone listening, if you want to get, if you need a director for porn parodies, Dan Brownlee is your guy.
It just writes itself. I was like, why has no one done
it? It's true. It does make sense. Everything what was the fits. Other franchise? What was the other franchise we were talking about? You said it's a perfect porn parody. I can't remember now. I'm going to have to go back through the episodes.
Was it Pornocchio?
No, but that's the third one.
I've had this for decades, and everyone I talked about it goes, it's already been done. I've checked. It hasn't been done. Do you want to hear my Pornocchio?
It might have been Willy's Wonderland.
Yes, that was it. The furry one.
Yes. The furry one. That's what it's going to be called.
Yes.
Like a sequel. Again, the furry one.
I've got that. Seriously, do you know, I need that, some of that porn money, man. I'd make such great. Anyway, my Pornocchio thing. You might want to, don't edit this out. Keep it in. If people are listening past that bit, they deserve to this. Right. Definitely. So the story is Pornocchio. Yeah. I've also been accused by people I've told this to who watch a lot of porn that there's too much story involved. It's my film. I don't care. There's a guy with a really, really small penis. And every time he lies, his penis gets bigger.
So I like it.
He chats up women in bar. Oh, I'm a doctor and I save children for a living. And then at the weekend, I save puppies from rare diseases. His cock gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And they go, oh, you've got a huge cock, because that's how porn works. And they have sex with him.
Women.
So that there happens all the sex. So, but the twist of the story is, he actually finds someone that he loves. Now, if he tells her he loves her, it's telling her the truth. So his penis is going to be small.
Mm-hmm. I get
that. But she likes his big dick.
Right. So, what a conundrum.
He's got a moral conundrum. Does he carry on lying to the woman he loves and then therefore can't tell her he loves her and stay with her and get the sex he can? Or does he risk her dealing with his small penis and tell her he loves her? See, again, I'm just, Jesus. Someone needs to give him some money. There's got to be a porn baron out there who listens to your podcast, who needs a director for porn parodies. I am the man.
Maybe we need to... I mean, I don't know if a scare attraction slash haunt horror movie review podcast is what porn millionaires are listening to. Maybe we need a sister podcast. Maybe we should just review all the horror porn parodies that are already out there. Then have our good idea. That we just got to watch a lot of porn, Dan. That's basically what we got to do. But if that's what I've got to do, that's what I've got to do.
Also, I'd like to say that I'd like to think that I've worked with porn bands before, and they're quite fun people. They like horror films. I did a film for one. He hired me to do a horror film, so, you know.
Perfect. We'll get on the blower to him.
God, yeah.
I've got an idea.
Several ideas. I've got a trilogy.
I've got a complete entire box set that we could make within a week.
I have. And the thing is, they're so cheaply... I even know porn cameramen. I'm not sure I haven't seen them in years, but, you know, is it the sort of thing you can kickstart? I don't know, man.
I don't know. If anyone wants to help us with a kickstart, leave a comment below. Have you seen any horror porn parodies? Let us know. But to wrap it back up, Escape Room 2, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, and so far I have no porn parody for it yet, but I'm sure I could think of one.
You know what? It's definitely doable. It's definitely doable. We'll discuss it on the next episode. That's your homework. Think of a porn parody for Escape Room 2. It's got to be something about, you know, putting the key in the lock or something, hasn't there?
Lots of sex toys involved, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there we go, folks. You've either turned off 10 minutes ago or continued listening. So thanks so much, Dan. A huge thank you for coming back onto Scare Track and not only talking about Escape Room 2, but also planning on how me and you are going to become future millionaires. Thank you.
Pleasure as always.
Cheers, buddy. Chat soon.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scare Track podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan for coming onto the Scare Track podcast and discussing Escape Room 2, Escape Room Tournament of Champions. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it for what it is. I'm not going to say I'm a hardcore fan of this franchise, but it's a decent watch. It was fun. And then, of course, we talked about porn parodies, which, you know what? There is a market there. I know a few people that do them. Maybe that's something we get into. I don't know. We've just started Jump Scare Media on the side, which is something separate to Scare Track. It's our new videography, photography, and social media company. So you never know. Sky's the limit, hey guys. If there's any ideas out there that you want us to make, let us know. But moving back to the scare stuff and spooky movie reviews, Escape Room Tournament of Champions, I'd definitely go and give it a watch. Really, really did enjoy it. It was an hour and a half of entertainment, which is what you want from these kind of movies. Moving on to actual scares and scare attractions, we have now started our Halloween tour, our road trip for this Halloween. It's tough. It's like there's more than ever before to try and get to. You know, when we started this a fair few years ago, it was easier to organise what to do because there wasn't quite as many places. Now, although we've expanded the team a little bit, so we're going to try and get more done.
there's still unfortunately going to be places that we just don't get a chance to get to, whether it be just distance or whether they're only run on select nights as well. So we want to hear from you guys as well this Halloween season. I know it's not even August yet. We've only just started the summer holidays, but as soon as those school holidays are over and kids are back in September, it really isn't long before we go to our first event in mid-September, late September. So yeah, it will soon come round. Let us know in the comments or join us over on social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat and Facebook. Just search for Scaretrack. The links are in the show notes below. And let us know where you're going to be going this season at Halloween. Or let us know where you think we should really, really go and do an episode on. Of course, we'll do our podcast review episode, our Scarecam vlogs. You can check those out over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Scaretrack. Be sure to click that subscribe and that bell notification so you can see our latest videos and get notified as soon as they are uploaded. And the same here with the podcast. Wherever you're listening, a huge, huge thank you. Click that subscribe, that follow, that little bell, whatever it is, in that top left or right hand corner of your screen right now. It really, really does help us out. So I think that brings us to the end of this episode of the podcast. A huge, huge thank you for listening, and let's get scared.